Thank you. Just to correct what I can see in the program is that I'm still based in Africa, according to the program. I'm actually based in Washington, D.C. I spent the past 5 years in Africa, after external relations for Shell in that area. On the human rights side, Shell has operated to a large extent on and off, good and bad, in conflict zones all through its history. That's the nature of our global history and being a global company in a global history of the past 100 years. It's been a lot of conflicts to handle and to manage. And we have in front of us the very impressive work in the guiding principles that we have spent time on discussing today. And what we are doing, I will just draw it to a very simple point. We are testing methods in different settings, in different areas, of in a large variety of circumstances that the Shell companies are facing today and will face in the future. How are we going to implement and how are we going to use all the tools that's been worked out? Human rights is nothing new to us. We first did quite a lot of writing around human rights in the mid-70s. In the mid-70s, it was a major discussion that I hope some of you remember about the role of multinational companies. And with that discussion, we started discussing what role do we have and how should we manage human rights. And we got it written into our business principles in 77 and again revised it in 96, and all based on and written out the human respect of the human rights to our employees. It may sound very simple, but it's quite a challenge when you talk about labor rights, when you talk about rights of the staff around the world. And it's not so easy as you may think when, just to use an anecdote on that, I've been working in different areas of Shell, recalled very well when the managing director of the Shell companies in Saudi Arabia came to meet with us and we discussed how do we identify issues around human rights and equality in Saudi Arabia, and considering that with our business principles. This was a debate we had, but it's also clearly been written out that we should conduct our activities in a manner that respects human rights, as set out in the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights and also in the ILO conventions. It's important that we remember these documents because they've been quite fundamental for the way business has been operating, and it still will be, even if we got the guiding principles. That's an impressive and a fantastic tool that we're going to work on, and that's the tool that we're testing and finding how we can work them in conflict zones. Because one of the issues working with oil and gas and energy is that usually the raw materials, oil and gas, is usually not found where you would like it to be. And we have been there and we are there. And I point at that history point because it sounds like, I followed the discussion today, that we should consider one thing or another thing when we're entering into a new market, which is fine. But we may have been in a market for 50 years or 80 years and being perceived to be part of a society in a country that suddenly the government is changing, politics is changing, maybe regional conflicts, maybe national conflicts or conflicts between nation states. And we are facing completely a new environment to work. May have been very well applauded when we invested in a country, say 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Investments that, like the mining industry, are long term. Usually investments calculated to be 30 to 60 years, value. And we suddenly are facing political situations. And I must say, it's one area of discussion I like to bring back to the mid-70s discussion. And that's how much politics should business actually execute. And that's a point I like to raise as a warning point. Because when the states are failing, don't let the business take over. Who should guide the business? Is it a business that's being guided by NGOs or shareholders? Is it a business we like, or is it a business we don't like? Generally saying that business has to take over the responsibility for human rights when the states are failing is a challenge, and we should be very careful in that direction. Very careful. But then other states have views on what happens in one state and handle it through the right international forums, the right international institutions. That's a way to handle it. It could be other ways to handle it. I'm not sitting here with any recipe, except for an important warning. And the warning is, don't let business, including Shell, who I can say a lot of good things about, but don't ask us to run foreign politics. We will get in place the different elements of human rights and manage that. But a huge dilemma is actually what role do business have in these issues? Because we have a role in order to create jobs, create the usual tax pay, create a room for business generation, sustainable development, good environment. We can list a long list, and we acknowledge them, and we work them. But on the human rights side, I think it's important to see that we conduct human rights in the way we do our business, and in the way we handle the society and our surroundings. Following the guiding principles, we have started what I would call a major testing program going through our organization, checking the grievance mechanism, follow up the work that was done in Sakhalin, together with Professor Ruggie, continuing that, expanding that, and we want to see how that actually can be implemented in the business. We are working a major internal program on due diligence. Should we have a separate due diligence on human rights, or should we have that as an integrated part of the already established due diligence program that we have for all our businesses? I don't have an answer to you. We are open and we're discussing with NGOs, we're discussing with thought leaders, and we're discussing with institutions, and also testing how that can be worked in conflicts around the world. The continuation of the voluntary principles on human rights, on security and human rights, is important. And it's a very important establishment, and we are working there, active part there, and we'll work on solutions and finding ways to work this. I've been myself working very active with the voluntary principles in Africa, and it's a good tool. It's actually a very practical tool when you manage to take it down into a boardroom and sit down and discuss, is this something we can do in this conflict? How do we communicate to the security forces? How do we communicate to the government? And how do we train people within the framework of voluntary principles? We have created what we call the sourcing principle, so that's being created. And that's an extremely important point, as also was raised this morning by the representative and speaker for Manpower when you talk about human trafficking, but also in the wider sense in how we are managing contractors and suppliers. Also doing quite a lot of peer reviews. What happens very often in a company in the size I'm representing is that we get experience in one country, one area, and in one type of conflict. And we try to share that around the company. by sending representatives, by sharing and doing reviews on our business system. We see that very useful where we're entering into new businesses. Just presently, talking about conflicts, we're entering into Colombia again, been there before, back again into area, and heavily conflict zones, and the same we are doing in Iraq, where we have started oil production just recently. So we continue that work in order to have prepared organization for the conflicts that we can see, but also for the risk of new conflicts and the conflicts that may appear around the world, talking about conflict zones. One of the challenges we have in this sort of world, as Shell is, and no secrets in that, is a challenge we have with staff. And it's not the human rights side of the staff, or the human rights of the staff, but it's the attitude. Because very much if you're a good petroleum engineer, you are educated to be a good petroleum engineer. But you are not been educated to be put into a conflict zone and being able to make an assessment and make a thorough work that can be useful for Shell to consider the situation that you're facing. I had a lot of discussions with the team that's now going into Colombia and can see that they are facing challenges, and they get quite surprised when I'm challenging them issues that they never before have faced. That could bring me also to think that the issues of human rights probably should have a better position in the educational system. Not necessarily in schools like where we are sitting today, but I'm thinking of technical schools and economic schools. Leaders that's going out there are not prepared by the educational system to enter into to handle human rights issues and to handle human rights. So in the receiving end, as a company, we can see that's a use, but where it's not done, we have to do that training ourselves. Sorry. We have put up set of targets by 2013 that Shell will have in place minimum requirement and clear accountability on the human rights side for each team working anywhere in the world. That plan should be worked out during the next 12 months. We should be better at identifying the human rights risks and impacts associated with operations and mitigate them as appropriate, especially in conflict zones. It's quite easy to operate in some countries. But my nationality is Norwegian, and a lot of you would say it's a very peaceful country. I'm still very happy that the oil we have are exploring and the oil we have found is offshore. I could see a lot of interesting conflicts in a peaceful Scandinavian country if we would start operating onshore. We also want to demonstrate externally that we have good systems in place, credible systems in place for identifying and manage human rights risks. May sounds very obvious, but if you operate in most of the countries around the world, it's important to drill down the high-level thinking and the high-level principles into the operational environment. May sound a little bit boring, but it's extremely real when you're running the business. And also that everything is aligned with the, I would say, more the spirit of the emerging standards and expectations of the protect, respect, and remedy framework, and also what the OECD is doing. So, in order to summarize, we have a few areas of priority, and that's human rights, human resources, basically, get our own house in place. Feel that we can still do a lot of work, and we should continue doing that. Get the house in order. Work on with security under the voluntary principles, as we have done, as I said, in Colombia, Iraq, these countries were just entering new business again, continue our social performance programs, which is important in order to share, but it's also to engage communities. Much of the conflicts we see around the world are in the communities, between communities, or originating in communities. And work better on our contracting and procurement system, so we manage to get to the root of all impacts of our business.